Okay, so we're continuing this sugya of tsar shelo b'makom nezek on pei dalet amud beis, and we're going to try to work on the shita of ben azai. The shita holds that lamaskana, right? That in the beginning you have the idea of tsar shelo b'makom nezek, you b'chayav for tsar on his own, and then the maskana in halachically is that no, you're only chayav if it's tsar b'makom nezek, if you have a chabura along with the kviyah, right? And the question that bothered us is what's the sense? Why should it be that if you start off that way and you have the idea of tsar alone, why should the Torah limit and restrict it? So I'm saying is I think that that the svara that we're saying, I'll say in a second, is makes the problem worse. If you just learn, it's just simply like the basically there's two possibilities, right? If I just said the initial position, I would have said it means even a mice that tsar you're chayav for. And then the Torah saying no, the maskana. The Torah saying don't say that. That's a theoretical possibility. The Torah saying go with even tsar b'makom nezek that you need a chabura also. I guess they're saying you need a ma'isa of chavala, right? So that's the question. You could have conceived even a ma'isa tsar alone, or you say no, you need a ma'isa chavala, which includes tsar as an accident. So I think that would have been fine. You know, there's two possibilities. The Torah mentions them both, and it teaches it to you by saying, you know, don't think this, but rather it's this. This, that happens a lot. I think what makes it difficult and harder to say is that like the way that it's formulated is that like what's nemratchila? Is it chabur nemratchila or kriya nemratchila? And like the way Rashi says the mashmausa kama. It's like what's the initial mashmaus? And then when the limudim come in, how they convert it. So I'm basically taking that to mean like that machlokas is in the Torah Shebichsav system of ayin tachas ayin. Because the mashmaus of the kasav is the mashmaz of Tarshav Chassaf. What does the pasuk mean? Just the gufei the crop. This is the pasuk alone on its own. And the pasuk alone on its own, without getting any limudim, just the gufei the crop, is teaching you the framework of Ayin Tachas Ayin, because that's what Tarshav Chassaf talks about in that framework. So because I'm connecting it to that sugya we did, you know, the initial introductory sugya of the perek, and taking the mashmaz of crop over here to be an actual worked out system of Torah Shvichzav and Ayin Tachas Ayin, I think that's what makes the problem like a little bit worse. Okay, so meaning if the Torah Shvichzav isn't that this whole thing is based upon, if Ayin Tachas Ayin includes Tsar alone, then why when Torah Shvichzav ends up formulating the halachic system, does it drop that? Why doesn't it include it? Or that's the problem, you know. But it was just like you would just say, like there's two theoretical ways of formulating it. Then I don't think it would be something that's, you know, that we're spending that much time on. Just say like, okay, that's the way it is. There's two possibilities. Torah presents one possibility and then says, don't do that. Do something else. That happens all the time. So I think that's what creates the problem of what's the sense. Why did Torah Shabbat Peh limit it for no apparent reason? Now, it's what we were saying yesterday for this idea of like, is that the reason you don't want to say it is because, you know, you'd be too much litigation. The Torah wants to limit the situations of halachically where you implement chovel, all these things, wants to limit it to the primary cases of mum. You know, even though intrinsically api mishpat, you see, ayin tachas ayin takes into account just tsar alone. So the problem with that is twofold. One is it's kind of like a philosophical kind of argument. It's not really halachically. It's just kind of saying, philosophically, the Torah's objective of chavala is like a practical system. That's exactly why it's dropping. That's exactly why it's dropping mamish, because it's not practical. And therefore, it's a kind of saying philosophically, since it wouldn't be so practical, therefore the Torah drops and limits it to the cases of just primarily when you have chavala, right? Yeah, but one is, okay, so again, it's like a philosophical type of argument, not really very halachic. And number two is, it's like, yeah, but we do have that. Like the other position, which is our Mishnah, which we do hold like, is that for Maisav Tsar Lon Yechayev. And like the system doesn't fall apart. You know what I mean? Like if you revive somebody, you spit in their face, you have to pay for Busha, right? If you give them Tsar, you have to pay for Tsar. So like, okay, you know, the world's hanging on just fine. Nothing, the whole thing doesn't fall apart. You don't have lawsuits left and right. Like to argue like it's like, argue that it's like not a practical system, it's like too much. Well, maybe, but we do have that and it doesn't seem to be a problem. So it's like kind of like a weak argument. Like what, you know, it's like the whole thing is intuitive. would it be practical to have it or not? And the fact that we do have it and there's no problem with it would indicate that it's not a problem. So it's not a good svara to begin with, and it doesn't seem to be true. Those are two problems with the svara, okay? Yeah.
That is a separate, like,
look, you could just say, halakhically, for some reason, it changed it. It was one way, and then halakhically it changed it, and that's the way it is. And you define it, halakhically you need a ma'aseh chaval, not a ma'aseh tzar. You could say that, you know, and that, like, in a certain sense, that is what we said before, you know. It's just like there's something unappealing about that. What's the sense of that? Why did the Torah do that? Why? Just make it a ma'aseh tzar. You're high. Like, what's wrong with Rebbe's formulation, Mishnah's formulation, such that it wouldn't do that? That seems to be better. You have better mishpat. You're, you know, punishing a guy for torturing somebody. Like, why would you specifically change it in a way that doesn't allow me or bothers me, you know? But, like, you know, the problem itself is not, like, tremendous. You could, you know, whatever. Just, if you just want to define it, you just say, went from a ma'aseh of tzar to ma'aseh, demands a ma'aseh of chavalah. So it's not, like, the biggest problem. And to some degree, we're creating the problem ourselves. But I like this framework. I think it really is illuminating. It opens up the ideas of why they're arguing about Mashmaos HaKra. That back and forth with Rav and Rav Papa makes sense. We'll go into that a little bit more today. But they're back and forth to see it in a little in deeper light. And, you know, it fits with the whole framework of the sugya that we're doing. So it's good. You just end up with this sheet that's a little difficult. So we'll try to work it out a little bit better today. Okay. Just as, like, a side point, like, there's something difficult about the sugya is that when Rashi's difficult in the sugya, like, when you have, like, hard Rashi's and you can't really work out Rashi and you using Tosos, that's what we're doing, you know, we're using anybody. You don't have Rashi as, like, your basis. It just becomes a very hard sugya in general. Like, it's like a quirk in a sugya. When she does Rashi, it's very difficult. It just makes learning a sugya much more difficult. Like, when you have, if we could just start with Rashi, learn Rashi simple and straight, you know what I mean? Then at work off of Rashi to Tosfos, it's much easier to learn a sugya that way. So, like, this happens to be like a quirk in the sugya of what's difficult about it, is that we're starting with Tosfos and going to Rashi, because we'll get into it today. Hopefully, we'll try to start with Rashi today. But I don't really know how to work it out. So Rashi's hard. It seems to be like an intrinsic contradiction with Rashi's saying. And so Rashi's hard, and we're kind of, I think, the easier approach here is Tosfos, but it's still a harder sugya overall. When you're working off of Tosos. Okay, so let me try an approach. Okay, to redefine this, and it's a little bit abstract, and we'll see if it works out. Okay, so I say is that like this: is that Ben Azai saying that if I just have Kfi alone, I would teach you me Mashmosa Kasav Tsar Tahas Tsar. Person does Tsar to you, you do Tsar to him, right? He electrocutes you, you electrocute him. Comes to Torah and says, nope, you're only chai of maskana in the halachic system if you have tsar b'makam nesek, if you have a chabura with it, with rishum unika, right? Okay, so why would the Torah Shavah Peh, why would the halacha limit it if intrinsically you'd be chai for that? Why should the Torah Shavah Peh limit it? So let's say like this, now I'm going to use... I'm trying to explain Tosfos. We're not doing Rashi in the sugya yet, okay? Maybe we'll talk about it today or next week, or if we could say anything. But I'm going to use the simplest interpretation of Rashi, ignoring the other problems of Rashi, just for to illustrate to get to Tosfos, okay? So Rashi says, Sar shel makom nezek, he says, ki masnis al tziporno de lo afchasek, right? The pichos damim, where he diminishes his value, right? It's the steer with that Rashi is the one he says refuah later on. Okay, how do you work out the refuah? Because refuah is not pichas and is damim, b'chora. Okay, but I'm ignoring the refuah problem of Rashi. Okay, so if you just define sarshalot makam nezek means without nezek, pichas damim, so you say like this, is that you could say that Ben Azai, what's he arguing with Rebbe? He's saying that, let's do Rebbe again. What was Rebbe's far? Rebbe's far was that really in the Ikar Adin, the Ikar system, Avayin Tachasayin, it's really all it is kashiti mum ba'adam kinyan simbo, is that eye for an eye. When a person gives a mum, you give them a mum. And in that primary framework, tsar doesn't even exist. Tsar is just an accident of when you knock out the other guy's eye, there's tsar that comes along with it. So of course you can't be chai for tsar in its own, right? The whole thing doesn't exist in the ayin tachasayin frame. No such thing as tsar, okay? It's only a thing of mums, one mum from another mum, okay? A real chavala. But then when the halachic system takes ayin tachas ayin and it says let's turn it to tashlumin, the way it does it by breaking down to five categories, and those five categories, nezek, tzarik, boshes, boshes, they become independent categories. Once they become in five categories, the Torah could be five, each one independent. Okay, and that's Rebbe's position. Okay, but Rebbe's position is it takes the ayin tachas ayin framework mamish and it converts into tashlumin. Once it's in this new framework, Tosh Baal Peh says, look, each one, it's a new, like it exists differently. Exists differently as a new halachic version. But it basically converts the mamish framework into a mamon framework on its own, like an independent halachic framework of ayin tachas, of Havala. I say is that according to Ben Azai, is that it didn't do that. It didn't just take the mamish framework and make it a separate halachic institution. But rather, what it did was, is already for, before you have the ayin tachas ayin mamish, the whole Torah shebichsav, chol b'chaveiro, you already have a system of nezek to take care of when one person damages another person. And that's the regular nezek shel mamon. It already existed. Okay? I mean, if you didn't have the ayin tachas ayin mamish, the Torah just said, forget about it. Just whatever. Ignore it completely. You still would have to pay money. Right, you still have to pay money because Niske Gufo. If you destroy his kelim, you pay money. If you destroy his body, you have to pay money also. So there already is a framework of Chavalah where the halacha Torah Shel Peh would have done treated it intrinsically. He doesn't need this ayin tachas ayin mamish. That's nezek shel mamon. And in that framework, we said azam vel olam, yom bein onis bein ratzon. That applies. It's a totally separate system of mamons, of the nezek shel mamon. Let's say, according to Ben Azai, what the Torah did is it added on the Chavala, the Chiyuv of Chamisha Dvarim or Arba Dvarim of Chavala onto the system of Nezek. They already existed halachically. It was Moshev. It says when you have the Niske Gufo of Adam Ba'Adam, right? So even though halachically you would have only been Chai Mamon for the Piches in his Damim, the value that he goes down, whatever you're being honest about, so all the thing just intrinsic Mamonis. But now the Torah says, on top of that, the Torah is going to add the Tashlumin idea, which is a substitute for the Ayin Tachas Ayin framework. Okay, but it's taking the Ayin Tachas Ayin, or the halachic version of it, all right, of Torah Shebaal Peh, and it's adding it on, it's a Hosafa on the Nezek. But it's not just like a separate, independent halachic structure. But it's only when you already have the Niske Mamon, the Niske Gufo, in the framework of Mamonos, then the Torah added it on. Okay, so I think it works better with this idea of Rashi, if you say. So what did it do? It said the Nezek of the Chamisha Dvarim, that's the Nezek of Mamon. That is the Nezek of Mamon. And then on top of the Nezek of Mamon, you have Arba Dvarim. But if you don't have the Nezek of Mamon, it means the halachic system is never engaged in this problem to begin with. Then the Arba Dvarim doesn't come about. It's only once you have the halachic system engaged, then the Torah is mosif on top of it, the whole ayin tachas ayin frame. Now it's true, ayin tachas ayin intrinsically would work just tsar, you know, kviya tachas kviya, according to Ben Azai, would have worked, but halacha, but that wouldn't have activated the normal halachic system of mamonis. Wouldn't have been there. There's nothing to do about that. There's no mamon there. There's no piches in his damim. So that there wouldn't have been any halachic mamonis consequence. Therefore, I'm not going to be mechayiv you in tsar as a tashlumin payment for that. Because it's only Torah only brings in the arba dvarim when you already have the nezek from mamonos. It's a hosafa on the basic halachic system that existed already. It was mosif on top of that arba dvarim. Okay, that's Ben Azai. Therefore, even though intrinsically, kviya tachas kviya by ayin tachas ayin, there is idea of tsar for tsar. But Lamaskana, once the Torah Shel Peh got its hands on it and converted it into Tashlumin, it didn't make it a separate independent halachic system. It said it's when you have the Nezek Shel Mamon, the Torah is Mosif Arba Dvarim, Tzar Ripo Sheves Boshes. But if you don't have the Nezek Shel Mamon, that's it. Then there's no Arba Dvarim. They're not independent structures. They're totally on the existence of Nezek. And why is Nezek so important? Because Nezek is a genuine halachic primary institution of Mamon. When you have the underlying Mamon framework, then there is Mosif on top of it, the Bein Adam L'Chaver framework that came from Ayin Tachas Ayin. But if you don't have the underlying Nezek of Mamon, the Torah wasn't Mechai and Arba Dvarim Bifnei Atzma. They don't exist as a separate Chiyuv Bifnei Atzma. They can only be a Hosafa on the underlying system of Mamonis that already existed. That underlying system onus wasn't engaged, and there's no hasaf of arbitz bar on top of that. That's why Ben Azai holds that the maskana, once it becomes halachically, it became attached to the nezek of mamon. So now you only chayev tsar if there's also nezek, but tsar shel makom nezek just purely as a chiyuv of the arbitz bar b'fnei atzmo, they don't exist. Okay, so it comes out fine. So it comes out the machlokes between Ben Azai and Rebbe. It fundamentally starts off like Rabba said. It starts off from the mashmos of the kra. What does kviya kadachas kviya do? That's where their machlokes begins, and that's why there's a sense of Rava of that's really what they're arguing about in the Torah Shabbosan framework of Ayin Tachazayin. Would you be chayev for just tzar? Right. That's the question. According to Rebbe, no, I never would have said that in Torah Shabbosav. There's no such thing as tzar. All there is mum for mum. But according to Ben Azai, no, that just like eye for an eye, foot for a foot, hand for a hand, there's also burn for a burn. And burn for burn means even pain for pain. If you cause somebody pain, we're going to cause you pain. So that's like where the machlokes starts. In that primary framework of justice, of eye for an eye, is tzar for tzar also there? Right, would you do, if Torah Shabbosav was really the system, would you do tzar for tzar? Somebody gives you an electric shock, you get to give them an electric shock. Would you say, no, there's no such thing like that? That's the primary place of their machlokas. But based upon that, we know that Torah Shabbat flips it. So you can end up with two different things. It's doing very, the flip is doing very different things according to each one. According to Rebbe, the flip is basically saying, even though it starts off more limited, once you convert to Torah Shabbat Peh and you have all these five categories, they can become separate independent chiyuvim. All of a sudden, you could be chai for tzar on its own. Because the Torah Shabbat Peh expanded it and broke it down to five categories that didn't really exist in Torah Shabbat Peh. You just do eye for an eye. But according to Ben Azai, it's totally different. The flip is limiting it. It's saying, really, it started off in terms of the pasuk as much broader. Even tzar shel makom nezek yichai. Then Torah Shabbat Peh limits it and says it attaches it to nezek. You're only chai for tzar if it's attached to nezek. The tzar alone, you're not chai for. Right? It's doing something very different. And Ben Azai, it's limiting the system of kviya tachas kviya. It's limiting it from, it would have been its own independent thing of tzar for tzar. And now it's saying, chabur tachas chabur. It's a halachic system is saying, no, you're only chai for tzar if it's attached to nezek. Tzar on its own, you're not chai for anymore. I would say, what's the special on nezek? Well, nezek is that thing that existed independently in the halachic system. So when the Torah Shabbat Peh takes this Torah Shabbat Chsav, it's adding it onto a prior existing halachic entity of Nezek. It's attaching Tzar to Nezek, even though Tzar could have been independent. But it demands that only when you have Nezek, only when you already have Nezek, then we'll prosecute the Arbitz Bar. But if you don't even have Nezek, the whole thing in the system is not engaged, we're not going to bother the Arbitz Bar. So yes, the source of the machlokas is the Havaminas, is what the Mashmas of the Pasuk is. But that results in completely different interpretations of what Chabura Tachas Chabura is doing. According to Rebbe, it's expanding the Maskana and the Lachic system. According to Ben Azai, it's limiting it to cases which are Tali on Nezek. It becomes Tali on Nezek. Now, all of a sudden, Tzar becomes, when you have Nezek, then you could have Tzar. You don't have Nezek, you can't have Tzar. I really fundamentally, Tzar should exist on its own. Yet, but once it became La Maskana, incorporated the Lachic system, the Torah wanted it to be Tali on the Nezek, which is a prior existing halachic category. Okay, it's a hosafa on nezek. As opposed to Rebbe, it took mum for mum and expanded into five categories and was mechayev each one b'fnei atzmo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and it comes out that when you look at it from Rebbe's point of view, the whole system of chovel b'chavero is like an independent halachic system. But according to Ben Azai, it's really tali on the nezek, the fact that there exists a nezek shamamon. According to Rebbe, the thing exists independently, right? It's an independent thing. Why exactly that should be, I don't know. I'm not really explaining why that should be. I'm just noticing that that's like different. That there, if you're going to hold tzar b'fnei atzmo, right? Like Rebbe holds, like the Dhar Mishnah holds, you're really saying these chamisha dvarim of chol b'chavero are separate, independent chiyuvim. They're not contingent on anything else. They can exist completely independently. But if you're going to say that tzar only exists in makam nezek, why should you need nezek for tzar? Who needs that? The saying is that this institution of chol b'chavero is totally on the fact that this already has an underlying basis of nezek shel mamon. Why exactly that is, I don't know. But there is an idea of, you know, it's a hosafa on a mamonin framework that you deal, like you deal with the Beinam Chaveru as a hosafa. It's like a second, I want to say, it's like a secondary thing. On top of the Nezek Shamamon, and you're going to deal with the Beinam Chaveru aspect. But if you never even engage in a monetary case, there's no halachic system for just Beinam Chaveru aspect. That's like start off. You have to already engage a halachic system in a monetary framework, and then we'll have the Arba Dvarim. But that is a consequence of how they look at it. Yeah. Okay. So if this were the Svar, I'd be happy with it. Okay. Okay. The problem is I don't think it really works for Rashi. We'll get to the Rashi later on. And the real problem, Rashi doesn't bother me because we're not doing Rashi. The problem is I don't think you can just say this for Tosfos. Okay. Why can't you say this for Tosfos? Right. Because Tosfos is learning that what is Ben Azai's conclusion? The Sarba Makom Nezek. Right, what is his nezek? His nezek doesn't mean nezek shel mamon of pichas damim. Ben Azai requires sar with the nezek of chamisha dvarim of a roshim, roshim rishim o nikar. Right, right. It's not a nezek shel mamon. Right. Okay, that's the problem here. It's a beautiful idea. It really was a nice idea. Okay, is that what the Torah did? Is it took the nezek shamamo and it was mosif on top of it arba dvarim, and it should have been chamisha dvarim, because really when you break down ayin tachas ayin into categories, you get nezek tzari boshes boshes. You have five categories. Yeah, but it took the nezek category and replaced it with the nezek amamo, which already existed. Since it replaced the nezek amamo, it says like when you have the nezek amamo, then you can bring in all five things. But if you don't have the Nezek Mammon, then you don't have the other four things. They don't come along for the ride. The problem is Tosfos, at least we define Tosfos, what's this whole category of Rishum Manikra? That's not Nezek Shel Mammon. There's no Pichas Damim. Maybe that works for Rashi, because Rashi's hoping that Tzar Shel Makom Nezek is a question of when there's Pichas Damim or not. His value goes down. Then it's a Nezek Shel Mammon. But we were saying Rishum Manikra doesn't mean it's Nezek Shel Mammon. That's the Nezek of Chovel. Right, you give a guy a scar, we're going to give you a scar. Okay, good. That works in Ayin Tachas Ayin. That's the nezik of damaging his body. But there's no, you did damage his body when you leave a scar. But there's no diminishment in his value. Right, so that's a nice nezik in Chovel Ben Adam Chavero. That's a good category definition of the Maisa Nezik. But it's not a good definition of the Maisa Nezik in terms of Mammon, because there's no diminishment in his value. Right? So that's right. So it's not what Ben Azai is saying. That you need the whole system of Arba Dvarim is contingent on the Nezek Shel Mammon, right? Because if you have a Rishum Nikar, he's calling that is Sar B'Makom Nezek, and you're hired for that according to Ben Azai, right? Okay. Yes. Yeah, so just this is that's what we just said is the basic, really in a certain sense, the one of the basic ways to understand this idea of Tsar B'Makom Nezek, why Ben Azai needs Nezek. Why is Tsar contingent on Nezek? What is Nezek? Why is Nezek special? Nezek is special because Nezek is Kolter Kula, the all Niske, all Mammon is Nezek. It's always dealing with Nezek, everything. Shorta Shor, Adam Bashor, Shor Bashor, everything, Adam, everything has it. Nezek is everything. That's the whole thing. We've been paying for the damages. And Arba Dvarim is like this big Chiddush, the Torah posits, being on the Chavera when you're made. So it's just saying the Torah just saying that whole system, Arba Dvarim, is only when you already have the system of Nezek, which is the primary Mammon's framework of Kol Torah Kula that we always use. And then in Chovel B'Chavero, we're mostly on top of that, Arba Dvarim. But the Torah does M'chadish, Arba Dvarim, on their own. They're a Hosafa on the Teshlumin of Nezek. When you have Nezek, like Rashi says, when you're Meshalim for the Refuah, forget the Refuah problem, right? Like once you're already paying in the framework of Dini Mammonis, we'll add on to your payment. It's like a bigger Tashlumin. We're not going to mechayev you a whole court case and a whole Tashlumin just for Arba Dvarim. It's like we're increasing the Tashlumin that you have to pay for Nezek anyway. We're increasing it for Arba Dvarim. Right? And that's why Nezek is special. Right? The problem is, the way we learn Tosfos is that he's not requiring the nezek of pichas damim. He's not saying that when there's a tashlumin from this mamon, and you can be mosif a tashlumin from arba dvarim. Because of Ben Azai, he's learning Ben Azai that all you need is the rishum manikar. And there's no tashlumin in that case. You can't say along with tashlumin of rishum manikar. There's no tashlumin. Doesn't make any sense. Right? So it's like a nice idea, but then how does it work with the Tosfos, the way we understood Tosfos? Yeah, the Svara works for Rashi if you ignore the fact, and just there's a steer in Rashi itself. Okay, it's because Rashi, when he first defines nezek, tsar shalom makom nezek, right? He says dolo afchase, you're not diminishing his value. So it seems like he's dealing with the nezek of mammon. That tsar, does the question is machlokis between Ben Azarevi, is the tsar need the nezek of mammon b'chayev or not, and the diminishment of value. But then when he explains the svara of why you need tsar needs a nezek of mammon, or tsar needs nezek, he says, the kivan de mishalim ripoy mishum chabura mishalim namitzar. Right? Ava shaloba makam chabura, yuan siporin pater, the tsar shaloba lo nezek, lo mishalim. So he's just like calling the ripoy. I don't know why he calls ripoy. But if you ignore that fact and you just say that the ripoy means the nezek or the pichas of his damim, which I mean, again, we'll take up the Rashi, maybe there's a way to say that, then I think it's if you just ignore that problem. But it's like almost like a steer of minayim bein Rashi. Why is he calling a report the chabura? You know, I mean, I can understand why, because why is the chabura diminishing a guy's value? You know, I kind of understand that why he's doing that. But the sugi is nezek, and Rashi himself defined nezek as pichos dam in the very beginning, the first Rashi sugi. But if you ignore that point, then it's beautiful for Rashi. That's exactly what Rashi is saying. Give me the whole svara. This is the whole svara of why you want chabura ima, because then there's a regular tashlum. It's already coming from the framework of nezek. Of the pichos damim, or the ripoy, which would have existed, right? The approach I'm going to take is that ripoy is already part of nezek. Okay, the Torah just breaks it out, but it really is part of nezek. But whatever. Okay, so you already have a tashlumen for nezek, and along with that tashlumen of nezek, the Torah adds the abed dvarim of, like, I'm calling abed dvarim, but really tsar. Okay, the tsar itself, but not as a separate independent chiyav. If you have the tashlumen ready, then you can be mosif the tashlumen of these things. So it really is good. It's you know, it's simple and it's clear. Okay, the problem is, how do you understand Tosfos? Okay, so this is what I want to say. Again, you'll tell me if it makes sense. Okay, is that, according to Rashi, let's say, I'm explaining Tosfos, I'll start with Rashi, is that when you have Ayin Tachasayin, okay, the intrinsic system, Doraisa, you knock at a guy's eye. There's no Chamish Advar, there's just eye for an eye. You don't have to get fancy. Now the Torah converts that into Tashlumen and a Mammon framework, and I end up with five categories. Nezek, Tzar, Yipor, Sheves, Boshes. Okay. Now it comes out, Nezek, we already have a framework of Nezek. Right? Already exists. You're already paying Nezek. Even bonus, you were paying Nezek. Nezek and Mammon, right? So one thing is one way to learn is that, okay, the Torah basically dropped the Nezek of Chamish Dvarim, right? It dropped the Nezek that came from Ayin Tachasayin. Because it's redundant, it's unnecessary. And he basically left, and it just basically made recourse, made use of the Nezek of Mammon, and added on Arba Dvarim to that. Right? It replaced the Nezek that would have come for Ayin Tachasayin, that naturally comes when you break down all the things that go wrong when you knock out a guy's eye, all the different problems you caused him that you have to compensate him for. The one, the primary one really is the loss of his eye and the value of him going down or whatever it is. That's the primary one. So the Torah says, yeah, but we already had that anyway. From halacha, we already had that. So when I incorporate into the halachic system, I don't need to. I just drop it. And I replace it with the nezek shel mammon, which already was there to begin with. That's one thing to do. Okay? Tosfos is saying different. Okay? Tosfos was saying, no. You still keep the nezek of chovel because there's chamisha dvarim. And there is a nezek of chovel. Okay? The only thing is, what the Torah did is it just said that these two nezeks give you identical results. Okay? They're always going to give you the same tashlumen. Okay? There is this nezek achova. You can't pretend it doesn't exist. You can't just drop it and replace it. When you knock out a guy's eye, you have to pay chamish advarim. Okay? It's just the Torah says that these two nezeks always line up. It makes that they're parallel structures. They're always identical in terms of their consequences. So one tashlumen will always work for the tashlumen of mammon and the tashlumen of Chamisha Dvarim, the Teshumen of the Nezek of Ayin Tachasayin. That's what you never see. You're not going to see any Nafkamina, right? You're not going to see any monetary Nafkamina between the two Nezeks, the fact that there's two types of Nezeks. Because they're formulated such that they always give you the same result. When I turn the Ayin Tachasayin to Chamisha Dvarim, and Nezek is one of those categories, so the way you pay him for Nezek will always equal the way you pay him for the Nezek of Mammon. Okay, So in a sense, the Nezik of Chamisha Dvarim, according to Tosfos, is like a proxy. It can serve as a proxy for the Nezik Shel Mamon. Okay, it is a category in Chamisha Dvarim, but it's parallel to the Nezik of Mamon, because they always give you the same result. Right? They are different in the sense that when you, let's say, burn a guy, you give him a scar, and his value doesn't go down. So in terms of the Nezik of Mamon, that's zero. Not even Nezik of Mamon, but in terms of the Nezik of Chavala, that is Nezik Chavala, because you damage his body. You just damage his body in a way which doesn't affect his value. But that is a mice of Nezek in the framework of Chavala. But there's no monetary consequence to that, right? So you could say that, right? That's the whole point. That's where we're coming from, that the two mice are not identical. The mice of the Nezek of Mamon is a mice of diminishing his value, right? The mice of the Nezek of Chavala is actually damaging his body. Now, the way you pay for both of them will always be the same. But that doesn't mean that you can't have it be a mice in one framework and not the other. If you didn't have that, then there'd be no point in even talking about two things. That's the only reason we're saying there are two things. Right? I mean, that's clear. Understand that point?
No.
Okay. You can't say they're completely identical. They're completely identical, or there's no point in talking about two different things. The only reason we're talking about two different things is because Tosus has this idea of Rishum Onikar, which is a mice of damaging his body, but it's not a mice of diminishing his value. Okay? But I'm just showing you is even though there's two different actions, and then in one framework, the Nezik of Mamon, you say that's not even a mice of a Nezik of Mamon. But in the framework of Chavala, that is a mice of a Nezik of Chavala, because you damage his body with the scar. But it's important to realize there's no monetary consequence to that those two cases. Right, even though you can have it be a mice of Nezik in one framework and not mice and Nezik in the other framework, it can't have a monetary consequence. There is no nafkamina, because there's no, in terms of how you pay for it, because the payment is zero. It's true, it's a Nezik in the framework of Chavala, but what's the teshlumen of that? Your teshlumen is how much his value goes down on the slave market. That's how you compensate him for damaging his body. How much does his value go down? Well, zero. If his value went down 100, you pay him 100. So it's always the way you compensate him for the Nezik of Mamon and the Nezik of Chavala are always going to be identical compensations. And one Tashlumen will always satisfy both. But obviously we're not defining them identically in terms of the actions, or else there'd be no point in talking about two different things. The whole reason we even came on this idea is because of Tosfos' point of Rishon LeNikar. So you see there's this category of a Nezik from Chavala. Okay?
Yes. Is that word, then they're different.
Okay, why am I calling a mice a Nezik a Chavala? Because I'm saying Nezik is damaging. You're damaging something. Okay, you're damaging his guf. Okay, it's not Tsar. The Tsar is the pain he feels. The scar he has is not Tsar. It's not Moshes. It's not Ripoy. It's not Sheves. It's Nezik. It's you damage his body. His body is defective now. You know what I mean? There's a defect in his body. And if it was the framework of Ayin Ta'azayin, of course you did something to him and he's going to do it back to you. The scar is a real thing. It's a defect. It's just the way you monetize Nezik of Kavala, of damaging his body, that's what Nezik is. You have to pay. When you damage somebody's body, you have to pay for the damage you do. How much do you pay? Well, you evaluate the difference in the slave market. So it comes out there are certain damages you can do to his body which don't change the thing's value. But it doesn't change the fact that you damage his body, and that is a Maisa Nezik, a framework of Kavala. It's just, if I want to talk about Nezik in a monetary framework, then I have to say is damage means you damage the value of the thing. And then I say, well, you didn't damage its value. You didn't even damage it in that sense. In a monetary framework, you didn't damage the value. But in a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro framework, which is the framework of Arba Dvarim or the Chamisha Dvarim, you damage his body. You made a scar. And that is Nezik. That is Nezik. It's just, there's no amount to pay for it. When you monetize it, you come out with a zero. Okay, and these two Nezeks, they line up with each other insofar as there's the way the Torah monetized the Nezek of Chavala is by using the slave market, which is identical to the method of monetizing of how you pay Nezek of Mamon. So the Tashlumen, the way you pay it in a monetary framework, is identical. So they're always going to line up. They're always going to line up in terms of one Tashlumen. One Tashlumen will always satisfy them both. like we said, your chiyuv nezek comes from two frameworks, according to Tosfos. But they're always mechayiv in the same tashlum. So there's these two nezeks, and they're conceptually different from each other, but these two nezeks are related to each other because they always produce the same result. They always use the same criteria of monetization, of how you can calculate the way you pay. Okay, but they are different. You can't pretend, you can't say, as an Tosfos is not going to go with Rashi. He's not going to say there's nezek shel mamon and then arba dvarim. You say, what happened to the nezek that came from ayin tachas ayin? It's really chamisha dvarim. What happened to that? Where'd it go, Rashi? Rashi's going to say, well, it's we already had a nezek. We don't need to make up a new one. We already had a nezek. I'll stick with my nezek shel mamon, kol tar kula, and I'll add on to it arba dvarim. But I don't need a new nezek. It's just redundant. It just falls away. It becomes identical. But Tosfos says, what happened to it? There's chamisha dvarim. So they overlap. And basically, you have two chiyuvei nezek, and they happen to be the mechayvi and same tashlumen. Is there a nachmi according to Tosfos? Not in terms of tashlumen, but over here, that becomes not according to Ben Azza. Okay, the case of Rishum Nikr. Because Rishum Nikr is going to be a maisa, the tashlumen will be zero for everybody, but it'll be a maisa nezek of chavala, but not a nezek in the framework of mum. Okay, so here it goes. Okay, so it's like this. Tosfos is saying like this. The same idea we use for Rashi. Okay, that the arba dvarim are contingent on the halachic system. Okay, for Ben Azai, the Torah is only mechayev you in, sorry, chamisha dvarim, whatever, on the system of ben al lechaveiro when you already had a prior halachic category of niske mama, of right, niske gufo and mamanis and all that stuff. Okay, it's just the way, according to Rashi, it did it is it took the arba dvarim and made it tully on the nezek shel mama. It explicitly made it contingent directly on the nezek shel mama. Of kol terkula, of the halachic system. Okay? But for Tosfos, it didn't do that. It did it internally. It took a proxy for the nezek shel mamon. It said, everything, all the arba dvarim are tali on the nezek shel chavala. Now, why is that? How is that hooking into the halachic system? Because the nezek shel chavala is a proxy for the nezek shel mamon. Because they're nearly identical, and they always have the same results, I can use the nezek shel chavala as a proxy. And say that's how the arba dvarim are contingent on the halachic system. Because the arba dvarim are contingent on the nezek of chavala. So you're staying within the entire framework of chavala. You're not leaving chamisha dvarim. You're just saying these four are tali on this one, of the nezek shel chavala. How is that tali on the halachic system? Nezek shel chavala came from ayin tachas ayin. It's not tali on the nezek shel mamon. Yes, because these two things are, one is a proxy for the other. Once I say that the two nezeks are essentially related by the fact that they always have the same tashlumen, that the nezek shel chaval becomes a proxy for the nezek of mam. And once it's a proxy, I can treat them. It's like if you have two things, a great example, a proxy. But if you want to make sure, let's see if I can. Okay, so let's say you have a couple, husband and wife, that always go to all events together, okay? So if I really want to say, I want a situation. If the husband is there, then I'm not going to go to that party. I don't like that guy. Okay. But I know, let's say it's not always easy to find out whether the husband's there. This is a really artificial example, right? I can't always find the guy. Okay. I can't always find the guy. So I could say, you know what? But I always know whether his wife is there. Okay. The wife is always there. She has a perfume. You can always smell it. You always know whether it's there. Okay. So you could use her as a proxy. I'm not gonna be there. If he's there, I'm not gonna be there. So how am I gonna do it? If I smell the perfume, then I'm not gonna go in there. I'm not gonna go to that party. But what do you mean? You don't care about the wife. You care less if she's there. You just don't want to go to the party if the guy's there. Yeah, but I know since that she comes along with him, and if I'll use her as a proxy. Once you know that they come together and that they're nearly identical, they're not exactly the same, but they're nearly identical, then I could take the other one as a proxy and say, if she's there, I'm not gonna go. And that, but not, I could care less about her directly, but it becomes a proxy for him. So I'm saying the same thing here. The Torah wants the system of Olam B'Chaver, Chamisha Dvarim, to be contingent on the halachic system of Nezek Shel Mamon, just like by Rashi. But it didn't replace the Nezek of Chavalah. It used the Nezek of Chavalah as a proxy for the Nezek of Mamon. And it said the Arba Dvarim of Nezek Sari Poshet Boshes are totally on the Nezek of Chavalah. If that's there, then the Arba Dvarim come along. If it's not there, it's not. What's the sense of that? Because the nezek of chavala is a proxy for the nezek shel mamon, because they're nearly identical. They always have the same monetary consequences. They're aligned with each other. Okay, but you end up with this quirky thing here that when you have rishum onikar, all you have is the nezek of chavala, and now you can have tzar, even though there is no nezek of mamon. Okay, now the question: why do this? Why not just make it all dependent upon the Nezik Shemamon, like Rashi or whatever it is? Like, why, you know? That says the advantage of this is you're staying internal. It's like internal. You're just saying within this Chamisha Dvarim, within the Chamisha Dvarim, if I have the Nezik, if the Nezik of Chamisha Dvarim, then I also have the Tsar of the Chamisha Dvarim. So Tosis is building in like the whole contingency of Tsar Makom Nezik, Tsar Shalakam Nezik is potter, that Tsar only comes along with Nezik. It's internal to the Chamisha Dvarim. It's a better like halachic construct. You're formulating the whole thing internally, consistently. That these four things are contingent on this one, which is in internal. But you're being smart. You're making it all contingent on the Nezek, which is internal, but on the other hand, it is internal to Chamisha Dvarim, the Nezek of Chavala, but it can serve as a proxy for something external to it. As opposed to Rashi's kind of creating a hybrid system of the Chamisha Dvarim is made up of a Nezek Shel Mamon, which is not really being Adam Chaver, which is like a totally separate thing. You would have been Chayvim Be'ones even without Ayin Tach HaZayin. And it's like a hybrid system of Nezek Shel Mamon plus Arba Dvarim. So Rashi's Chamisha Dvarim is a hybrid. It's right. Tosis Chamisha Dvarim are like pure Chamisha Dvarim. They're Chamisha Dvarim Adam Chaver, and they exist as their own system. It's just that Nezek can serve as a proxy for the other Nezek. And that's why everything is contingent on it. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so it comes out. So really the Arba Dvarim, you want it to be Tale on the Nezek Shel Mamon. But because you set it up this way, and it's almost always perfect, but you end up with like a little quirk. Is that in this case the Nezek Shel Mamon is not there, but the Nezek of Chavala is there. And that's why with your Shimon Nicker, you can have it. Okay, it'd be like the case of the party. Happens to be the husband went home and he was sick. Yeah, but the wife was stayed there, and you smell the perfume, and therefore, you don't go in. So it's like a little bit of a trick. It almost always works. It's a good method. It's a good proxy in general. But because it's a proxy, it doesn't always work out perfect. You know what I mean? It's not always perfect. It's not the thing itself. Okay, go ahead, Yaakov. Okay. The whole concept is again like it's like we said for Rashi that it is the same concept of the Torah taking the Chamisha Dvarim and saying, whatever I had, the halachic system was already engaged because of regular mamonas, regular nezek, and I was already engaged in it, then I will, on top of that, I'll add Chamisha Dvarim. So it's the same concept of the Torah trying to add on top of, it's you're dealing with the Bein Adam Chavero in a situation when you already were engaged because of mamon. That's what it's trying to do. It's just the way it did it was by using a proxy of the nezek shel of Allah. But it's doing the same thing. It's saying the Chamisha Dvarim, according to Ben Azai, they only come along when I already have the Nezek Shel Mamon engaged. But since it didn't do it directly, it did it through the proxy of the Nezek Shel Chavala, you end up with this idea of the Nezek Shel, where you have the Nezek of Rishim Uniker, which that is a Nezek. There is Nezek here. Tsar is coming along with Chaburo. Okay, perfect. You don't have Tsar independently, and Tsar is with Nezek. The way you attach it to the Lachic system is not by the Nezek of Shel Mamon, they use the proxy Nezek. But it's doing the same thing. It's hooking it into the prior existing halachic structure of mamonas, but through a proxy. Yeah. you're trying to make it all contingent on the mamon. Okay. The problem with the mamon is the Rashi's thing is, then you end up with a hybrid system if you do that. You end up combining the Bein Adam Chaver of Chamisha Dvarim with the Nezek mamon of mamonas. Okay. If in order to do Rashi to do directly what you're trying to do, you end up with a hybrid system. Tosa's solution is much more elegant. Okay, instead of making a hybrid system, Chamisha Dvarim is its own separate world. Okay, the only thing is you have to use a proxy for Nezek. And then these four things are telling you on the fifth thing in the system itself, but you don't have any hybrid problems. Okay, and it's perfectly fine. It's a perfectly good proxy. Okay, but the reality is you're using a proxy Nezek to accomplish your goal. So you could have a case with the Rishim Uniker where the proxy is there, but the thing that it's supposed to be mimicking is not. But almost always it works. And there's this advantage of you don't end up with this hybrid system of Chamisha Dvarim. You don't have to say Chamisha Dvarim is really Arba Dvarim. What happened to the fifth thing? Ignore it. We had it anyway from up. And then put these all together. It becomes a 1 and 4 system. No, it's still Chamisha Dvarim and it's perfect in perfection. It doesn't have to make recourse to some system outside of itself. But you're stuck with, if you want to be contingent on Nezek and tie it into the Lachic system, you got to use the proxy Nezek. You want to stay internal to the Chamisha Dvarim, which has its consequences.
It's very abstract